Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 4, The Spiritual Forces of Good, and we're going to be dealing with angels today. The objectives of this particular lesson are this. Upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to provide a reference which explains what angels are. You're going to be able to tell how angels originated, identify two kinds of angels, identify their sphere of activity. You're going to be able to summarize the ministry of angels in spiritual warfare. You're going to be able to identify attributes of angels, identify various classifications of angels, and give a scripture reference which explains the organization of the angelic host. Our key verse today is going to be found in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 7. It says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them." Introduction. In the last chapter, you learned of the Trinity of God, which includes God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, and you learned of their origin, attributes, and functions in spiritual warfare. Now, this chapter continues the study of spiritual forces of good, and it explains the origin, attributes, sphere of activity, classification, and organization of angels. It also explains their ministry in spiritual warfare. So our first question is this: what are angels? The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits sent by God to do his will. We find that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" The title angel simply means messenger. And the origin of angels were created by God. Psalms 148, 2 and 5 says, "Praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." And in Colossians 1:16 it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." So all the angels were righteous and holy when they were first created, and they worshiped and served the one true God. But later, some angels rebelled against God, and they lost their position as angels, and they became part of a force called demons. It was an evil force. There are now two kinds of angels. The first one are good angels, which are the subject of this particular chapter, and evil angels, which are demons, which will be discussed in chapter number 6 of this course. The organization of angels. The good angels have been organized by God in a special order, and the Bible does not reveal the details of that order, but it does indicate such organization. In Ephesians 3:10, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." So the organization of the invisible world is described here in terms of thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. We're not given the details of the structure, but you'll learn later how Satan has imitated this organization in his own structure of evil forces. The classification of angels. There are literally multitudes of angels, according to Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 15, who are apparently classified according to the duties they perform. And these are the main classifications of angels that we're going to deal with. The first one mentioned here is messengers. So the class of angels, most likely the largest in number, these are the angels composing the innumerable group visualized by Daniel in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, who carry out the will of God in heaven and earth. This is a group that usually relates to the believer in terms of spiritual warfare. They interpret God's will, protect, provide guidance, bring answers to prayer, announce, warn, instruct, bring judgment, encourage, sustain, deliver, and intercede on behalf of believers. Secondly, we have the elect angels. Only one reference is made to the elect angels, and that's found in 1 Timothy 5:21. There's really no further information given about this group. The next one are the cherubim. This classification of angels is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. They're also mentioned as part of the Ark of the Covenant in Exodus 25, 18 through 22. Ezekiel mentioned these as being these beings and describes them as having four appearances: the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of a man, and the face of an eagle. We find that also in Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 3 through 28, and chapter 10, verse 22. This symbolism of the cherubim suggests that they are the living creatures that are surrounding the throne of God. In Revelation 4, 6, they appear to be the highest order of angels, and they are the guardians of God. Then we have the seraphim. This group is mentioned in Isaiah 6, 2 through 6, and their position is above the throne of God in contrast to the position of the cherubims who surround his throne. The duty of these angels seems to be to lead heaven in the worship of God. Then we have the living creatures. This group of angels are mentioned in Revelation chapter 4, 6, 8, and chapter 5, verse 6. This title presents these angels as manifesting the fullness of divine life, whose chief ministry appears to be the worship of God. So, individual angels. In addition to all the different classifications of angels, there are some individual angels mentioned in the Bible also by name. First one was Michael. Michael the archangel is mentioned by Daniel in chapter 10, verses 13 through 21, and chapter 12, 1, and Jude 9, and Revelation 12, 7. He's the only angel who is called an archangel, and he is represented as having charge over an army of angels in Revelation 12, 7. He is said to be the prince of the people of Israel in Daniel, chapter 10, verse 13, 21, and chapter 2, verse 1. Another angel mentioned is Gabriel. The meaning of his name is Mighty One, and he's mentioned in Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, chapter 9, verse 21, and in Luke chapter 1, verse 19 and verse 26. He's also used to deliver an important message from God. It is Gabriel who interpreted the vision of Daniel in chapter 8, verse 16 of Daniel, and chapter 9, verse 21, and who announced the birth of John and Jesus, according to Luke chapter 1, verses 19 and 26. So there's also special groups of angels. The Bible also mentions special groups of angels, which include the angels of the seven churches, found in Revelation 1:20. We have the four angels who control the winds, Revelation 1:7. Seven angels who stand before God, Revelations 8:2. The seven angels who administrate the seven last plagues, according to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 7, and the 24 elders, and these may be also angelic beings, Revelations chapter 4 and 5. So here are some attributes of angels. So you want to remember from the last chapter that attributes are personalities, traits, and characteristics of individual angels. So you can see in your book, I'm going to mention them. I'm not going to give the verse for every single one of these, but you'll see them there in your text. So the first one is, they are spirits, they are sexless, they are immortal, they have both visible and invisible forms, they appear with the likeness of human form, they have emotions, they have appetites, they are glorified beings, they are intelligent, they are meek, they are powerful, they have no need to rest. They travel at an unrecorded speed. They speak languages. They are innumerable. They are immortal. They do not marry or have children. They are obedient. They are holy. And they are reverent. Their highest activity is to worship God. So this is their sphere of activity we're going to discuss now. The angels are active in both heaven and earth. And the source of their power is both granted and governed by God, and they have access to the presence of God in heaven. In Matthew 18:10, it says, "In heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." So they're also active on the earth, and this is documented by the varied ministries and many appearances of angels to people recorded in the Bible. Next, we're going to go ahead and discuss the ministry of angels. Angels minister in many ways, both in heaven and earth. So you're going to look up the following references in your Bible, and as you study these verses, you will understand the importance of angels in spiritual warfare. Now, I'm not going to go ahead and read all the verses. I'm just going to read the main context, and probably throughout the rest of this program. So you'll see that I'm just going to read the main words, and you can look them up in your book. So first one, the ministry of angels in heaven include worship, standing ready to do God's will, ministering to the godly who have died in Christ Jesus, representing children in a special way, and rejoicing over those who accept the gospel. The ministry of angels on earth includes ruling nations, ministering to believers in times of testing, strengthening believers, interpreting God's will for men, guiding believers, bringing judgment on individuals and nations, bringing answers to prayer, announcing, warning, instructing, encouraging, revealing, sustaining, preserving, protecting, delivering, destroying, and interceding. And the future activities of angels will include participating in the return of Jesus, the gathering of the elect, warning and preaching during the tribulation, and separating the wicked from the righteous, and binding Satan. Angels in spiritual warfare. The messenger angels are the group that usually relates to the believer in terms of spiritual warfare. They interpret God's will. They protect, provide guidance, bring answers to prayer. They announce, warn, instruct, bring judgment, encourage, sustain, deliver, and intercede on behalf of believers in battle. Many believers have not availed themselves to the aid available from angels because they've never been taught regarding their function in spiritual warfare. They are ministering spirits and can minister for you as well as to you. You can ask God to dispatch angels to assist you in the battle. King David did just this in Psalms 35, 5-6. He says, "Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Let the angel of the Lord chase them." And you can read the following accounts of the angels that participated in warring against the enemy, and you'll find those in your book. Important warnings. Angels are holy beings with important ministries on behalf of believers. They are part of the spiritual forces of good, as in the Trinity of God, but the Bible gives some warnings concerning angels. First one is, do not worship them. You're not to worship angels. Colossians 2:18 says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And then also we find in Revelation chapter 22, verses 8 through 9, it says, "And John saw these things and heard them. And when I heard what I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto thee, See thou do it not, for I am not a fellow, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." So you want to reject angels preaching another gospel as well. Some people who claim to have seen angels who gave them a new revelation contrary to God's written word. There's actually entire religious movements that have been founded on such false revelations. The Bible warns about that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But though we or even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." So you're not to listen to a man or an angel or any other being that would guide you contrary to God's word. And as you will learn later in this course, one of the main strategies of Satan is deception. And the Bible warns in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, which says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." We also do not want to provoke the angels. You can read the story of Balaam in Numbers 22, a prophet who was acting in disobedience to God. And you'll note that with what he was opposed by an angel of the Lord. And when you're disobedient to God, the angels may actually hinder you. And you'll be fighting a battle, but it will not be a warfare against the enemy. Be careful that you do not provoke the angels of God. So go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.